sometime later, Krishna, being attracted by the opulence of Giriraj, and to get relief from the fatigue of holding him up for a week, strolled along a ridge of Govardhan Hill. Krishna walked there alone in order to bestow mercy on the heavenly King Indra. The coward boys suffered greatly in the absence of their beloved Krishna. Krishna's pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill had covered the one with a thousand eyes and layers of intense embarrassment. As a result, Indra abandoned his bad qualities of anger and pride and came to Vrindavan from his heavenly abode, accompanied by a Kamadhenu who carried the sweet smell of good fortune. Indra wanted to meet Krishna and beg pardon for his great offense. In her humble way, the Surabhi cow, accompanying Indra, approached Krishna and spoke affectionately with the logic of the goddess of learning. Surabhi said, "O Lord, you are the tilak mark of good fortune on the head of the capital of Nandamaraj. Please hear my words attentively. You are famous throughout the universe, and you are worshipable by all living beings. You are incomprehensible, and you manifest incredible opulence in this world. Even if hundreds of angry Indras tried to kill the cows and gopas with fast-moving, ferocious clouds pouring torrents of rain, you will always protect Gokul and saturate its residents with complete bliss. Being pleased by your merciful behavior, Brahma anxiously told me, 'O goddess Surabhi, go happily bathe the Indra of Gokul, who is the beloved son of Nandamaraj.' Under Krishna's compassionate protection, the Vrishbasis, who are praised by the poets, rebelled against Indra, even though they are not envious of him. I am well known for my own misdeed of previously stealing Krishna's boyfriends and his cows. Surabhi, I will follow you on my swan, along with the munis, rishis, kinaras, charanas, siddhas, and demigods, in order to relish the spiritual bliss of this pastime." Surabhi continued, "Hey Krishna Chandra, just see the person standing behind me. He's always overwhelmed with grief from his anger and from his offenses. Casting his eyes down in shame, he repents for his rude and arrogant actions. Within his mind, he is always rebuking himself. He really wants to be forgiven for his great offenses to you, but he is afraid to step forward. If you allow, he will come and submit his petition." Indra wiped the tears from his thousand eyes and got down from his mountain of false pride. As he lay on the ground, surrendered to the Lord, it appeared that the radiance from the expensive gems on his crown illuminated the lotus feet of Krishna. After lying on the ground for a long time, Indra stood up. He folded his hands. He bowed his head. With fear and devotion in his heart, he gazed at Krishna's jewel-like toenails, which were glowing like moonshine. Out of ignorance and false pride, he had previously acted foolishly. Now, humbled, Indra offered prayers to Lord Krishna. King Indra said, "O Krishna, you are the Lord of all lords. You are the beloved son of the King of Vrindavan. Your nature is to be totally independent. Grand festivals are held just to worship you. You are the highest truth, so it is difficult for someone like me to understand your greatness. Those blinded by the arrogance of pride become intoxicated by drinking your glories. Since their eyes are diseased, they cannot perceive their own perverted actions. They are just like owls that cannot see the light of the radiant sun. Therefore, O kind one, please listen to me. It is quite befitting that you stop my sacrifice in order to severely punish one whose vision had been so infected with false pride. For a blind man, a stick is the best medicine. O Lord, you are an ocean of compassion. Although you taught me a good lesson, I took it the wrong way. The intelligence of hypocrites always directs them to act incorrectly. And what can be said of us who lust after the poison of sense gratification? For even the greatest of sages, who are free from material attachment, become agitated by the powerful motive passion. What to speak of us? Unless your insurmountable illusory energy acts, then how can false ego exist? All glories to you, the benevolent one. You are the essence of everything for the three worlds. You are the embodiment of auspiciousness for Vrindavan. O matchless one, O Damodar, you are the abode of transcendental names and of transcendental qualities. O friend of Dhamma, Sudham, and Vasudham, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. You are difficult to know. Please do not cover us with illusion. O Lord, please be kind to us. With a slight sidelong glance from your eyes, you can cause fortune or misfortune. O unborn one, although you never take birth, you appear in unlimited incarnations. In bygone times, you pleased the demigods and enjoyed yourself by becoming Upendra. Just now, you will enjoy being bathed by Surabhi. You are the blue sapphire crest jewel in the crown of the Indras in every universe. O lifter of the great mountain of Govardhan, although previously known as Abhiram, beautiful and pleasing, you will now be known by the name of Govinda, which your devotees will regularly chant. Go means tending and caring for cows. O Lord, from today, everyone will call you Govinda. After Indra had been purified of his false pride by glorifying Krishna, he commenced the auspicious bathing ceremony. Brahma, the four Kumaras, Uma, Mahadev, Tumburu, Kartikeya, Narada, and Savita, attended Krishna's Abhishek. Many exalted rishis and sages beautified the assembly. The effulgent wives of the demigods, such as Arundhati, also visited. The celestial apsaras, such as Orvasi, watching from the sky, enhanced the festival with their splendid forms and qualities. Govardhan, with the limbs of his own body, provided an elegant throne made of smooth stones and jewels. The demigod Varuna personally held a fine white umbrella over Krishna's head, which had a fringe of hanging pearls that appeared like falling raindrops. Vayu, his arms trembling in ecstatic devotion, stood beside the Lord, fanning him with a chamara whisk. The full moon assumed the form of a mirror that was made out of jewels. Panchajanya, the Lord's conch shell, sanctified the atmosphere with loud sounds. The effulgent Sudarshan chakra expanded in many lamps to illumine all directions. Krishna's white lotus flower expanded into many white umbrellas to shield the Lord. Komodaki, the Lord's club, who was honored for his strength, stood like a jeweled pillar for the bathing ceremony. The personified forms of the sacred oceans, rivers, ponds, and lakes came with pots of water to bathe Krishna. Mother Bhumi collected the finest quality earth in a box covered with seven jewels. Placing the box on a jeweled plate, she slowly approached Krishna and offered it to him. The best herbs and medicinal plants personified presented themselves for Krishna's service. Great sacred trees such as the banyan and peepal manifested in person to give Krishna
leaves containing the five types of tastes in golden pots studded with gems of lapis lazuli. The forest gods from the 10 directions brought water pots covered with coconuts and various delicious fruits. The lord of the mountains brought exotic gems and jewels. The 9 jewels, the 8 yogic cities, the best jewels like Chintamani, Kamadenu, and desire trees all assumed charming forms to worship the Lord. Standing at a distance, they faced Krishna with folded hands. The goddess of Sumeru offered a golden cloth, and the goddess of the Himalayas presented splendid necklaces. The goddess of the Gandamandana mountain brought golden lotuses from the Mansarovar Lake and personally strung a garland for Krishna. The goddess of the Malaya mountain delivered the best quality of sandalwood. Grinding it on a stone from Govanan, she made a smooth, great paste for Krishna. Without the knowledge of her husband, Parvati handed Krishna a gorgeous jeweled necklace. With her own hands, the Saptarishis plucked fresh lotus buds from the Mandakini River to offer to the Lord. When needed for service, the sun god made the lotus flowers blossom for the Lord, and the shining of the moon appeared as a mirror. Agni offered an artistically designed golden incense pot with a hanging fringe made of coral. The best quality Agaru saint burned in the pot. And the smoke rose into the sky through its thousands of holes. Garuda expanded his effulgent golden wings to form a protective canopy over the Lord. All the kings of the snakes fanned their hoods to serve as a jeweled flag to surround the bathing platform. The various mantras and prayers used for Abhishek, like the Purusha Sukta or the Stri Sukta, took personal forms to chant in alternating low and high tones. The Sarabi cow contributed the Panchagavya, and Lord Brahma provided the Panchamrita. Aidavata, Indra's elephant carrier, filled the gem-studded bathing pots with water from the Akash Ganga, which he carried in his trunk. The demigods in the sky vibrated instrumental music. The celestial ladies showered flowers from Nandakanana, while intoxicated Gandharvas, Charanas, Kimpurushas, Siddhis, Sadhyas, and Vidyadharas joyfully danced in the sky. All the Apsaras appeared to please Krishna with a special drama. They conveyed the meaning of the play with various dance steps and facial expressions. Upon beholding the elegant form of Shyamasunda, the famous Apsara Orvasi felt enchanted and devoted herself to the Lord. Taking the lead in directing the bathing ceremony of Krishna, Lord Brahma approached Surabhi and said, "Today is the best day to observe a happy occasion. All simple village folk, do not delay. Everyone queue up behind Lord Shiva and please begin the Abhishek. Before I take my turn, let the leading ladies of the universe come forward. First, Arundhati, who tried to please me, she should bathe the Lord. Then Anasuya, who is non-envious and free from passion and ignorance, and Parvati, the respectable daughter of the Himalayas, who gives bliss to everyone, they should all step forward. Then the other exalted ladies, such as Gayatri, the mother of the Vedas, who welcomes the Lord when he awakens, Aditi, the mother of the demigods, whose love is never broken, Saraswati, the goddess of learning, the beautiful Svaha, they should all bathe Krishna. Then Lord Brahma, who meditated upon a lotus, asked Krishna to sit down on the bathing platform. He began to worship by washing Krishna's feet and offering him delicious madhupaka and tambula. According to a previous arrangement, the senior ladies of Vrindavan, their hearts drowning in prema, bathed Kiridhari with fragrant panchamrita, panchagavya, and the milk dripping from Sarabi's milk bag. Hare Krishna.